Joshua chapter 16, verse 1 reads, "And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Mount Jericho through Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along unto the borders of Archi to Ataroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Jephleti, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gaza, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance." Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is the imperfect church militant. The imperfect church militant. God not only elects the unwise and the base of this world to be heirs of salvation, but he bears with a very imperfect church in this world, without denying to any one of his imperfect saints the promised inheritance in Christ Jesus. Judah's inheritance has been described, or the boundaries of it, and Caleb's great example, who was given an inheritance among Judah. And now we turn to the sons of Joseph. First of all, united in inheritance. United in inheritance. In these four verses, we find that Manasseh and Ephraim, both the sons of Joseph, are given in their birth order. Manasseh was the older of the two, the original individual sons of Joseph. And they have an inheritance in Canaan, as do all the tribes of the Lord. The inheritance itself was common to the whole church of God. There are blessings that are common to all of God's people. So in Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle writes to the saints in general, to God's people. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So there he writes to the saints at Ephesus, and he speaks to the people of God in general in that place. And notwithstanding the fact that the church on earth is subject to mixture, yet the genuine saints have an inheritance in common. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And he goes on to enumerate some of those blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Election in Christ. Sanctification and justification in Christ. The adoption of children in Christ, in him. And on to the blessings of the full inheritance in Christ. These things are declared to be the part and portion of all the saints at Ephesus, and indeed everywhere else. So there are blessings which are common to all of God's people. The renewing of the Holy Spirit and union with Christ and life everlasting and fellowship with the Lord and with his people, and a measure of persecution for Christ's sake. And they all participate in the same ordinances of worship, the same sacraments. They have the same lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So these are blessings that are common to all of God's people. They were elected in Christ in eternity. They are called in time. They have the blessing of justification, peace with God. They begin fellowship with God in this world through Christ. And they have an eternal glory to enter into in the world to come. Christ says of them all, blessed are ye of my Father. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So there is a union among God's people in Christ, and there are these blessings in Christ which are common to all of God's people. And that's surely pointed to in that Manasseh and Ephraim and all the tribes have a part and portion in the promised land. Because although that promised land wasn't simply a picture of eternal realities, nevertheless, as an imperfect foresample and a mixed church entering into it, it does tell us that all those who are truly the Lord's will have an everlasting inheritance in him. But then, secondly, distinctions among the redeemed. Distinctions among the redeemed. Verse 4 reads, so the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance, and the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus, and so on. And then it gives the details of the inheritance of Ephraim. And then in verse 9, and the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities and their villages. So what we notice is that though in the first four verses it refers to Manasseh and Ephraim, because Manasseh had been the firstborn, when it comes to the inheritance itself, we have Ephraim and then Manasseh. And pointing to the fulfillment of the promise when Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. And Ephraim was so numerous that even some of the cities of Manasseh's territory had to be given to Ephraim. That we understand is the meaning of verse 9. The separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. That Ephraim was so great that some of the cities of Manasseh had to be used to accommodate them. This is in accordance with Genesis 48. Genesis 48 and verse 8. Genesis 48 and verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And this was now being fulfilled all these generations later. God had ordained that Ephraim and Manasseh would both become great tribes, but that Ephraim would excel Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. The Lord ordains distinctions among his redeemed, even in this world, even though they share a common inheritance. He makes distinctions in the circumstances in which they enjoy fellowship with him, and in the measure of that enjoyment. There are obvious distinctions among the redeemed of the Lord. They are becoming they're becoming more Christ-like or sanctified, but within that there are many differences. The most basic difference in this world, for example, of gender, there are men and women, boys and girls, among God's people. In the world to come, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. But in this world, there is that distinction, not only as a fact, but in role as well, in the church and in the home, for example. They are distinguished in the gifts that are given to them. Within the body of Christ, there are different gifts. And not only within the body, yes, there are the spiritual gifts that are to be used for the building up of the church, gifts given to individual members for the good of the whole, but also in life in general and in terms of general abilities, there are distinctions among God's people. Differences of physical health and strength, differences of length of days in this world, differences in degrees of suffering, even for Christ's sake, though all the redeemed, that multitude which no man can number, come out of great tribulation to the kingdom of glory, with their robes made white in the blood of the Lamb and palms in their hands, ascribing blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. They all come out of great tribulation, but many pass through this world with comparatively little suffering for Christ's sake, whereas others, because of the time and place in which they live, they suffer immensely and are even martyred for the sake of Christ. So they all come to the common inheritance, but there are these variations in this world and variations in progress, in knowledge, and increase of faith and holiness in this life. It's one of the mysteries of God's sovereignty and providence that the saints of God in this world, some have very short lives, some very long lives. Some are called to fellowship with Christ early and have a long Christian life. Others, comparatively late. So there are these variables, how long someone lives, but also at what point they are born of the Spirit and what progress they make in the time allotted to them. When we think of someone like Robert Murray McShane, whose life was so short, and yet what progress he made between being called to faith in Christ and his early death at 29, whereas others live so long, like his friend Bona lived to 80 or beyond, compared with McShane dying at 29. Such variation. So there are all these variations of gender, of gifts, of length of life, of health and strength, of degrees of suffering, and progress in knowledge and increase of faith and holiness. And in the eternal inheritance, though all will be fully blessed, yet there is variation. We mentioned this recently, Matthew 25 and verse 21. Matthew 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Here the talents vary. The talents are not simply gifts, but opportunities to use those gifts. And they vary. And yet the parable indicates that there will be a gracious reward in proportion to faithfulness. Not merited, not deserved, but the Lord graciously acknowledges the fruit of his own grace in them. So there are distinctions among the redeemed. Thirdly, unforgotten prophecy. Unforgotten prophecy. In verses 5 to 10, the Ephraim's inheritance is described. And as we've said, this was a fulfillment that Ephraim would take the priority. Manasseh comes later, or the portion of Manasseh that was on the west of Jordan. One half of Manasseh took their inheritance on the east. Not one word of God falls to the ground. No prophecy will ultimately remain unfulfilled. And so the 12 tribes entered the promised land according to the word of the Lord. And within that, the prophecy, for example, concerning the primacy of Judah was fulfilled. Judah did become the head, as it were, of Israel. And the Christ, yes, David, but then the son of David, Christ himself, did come of that tribe. But also here, the distinction between Ephraim and Manasseh. And so the southern boundary of Ephraim, roughly from along Jericho, Bethel, down to Gaza, and Michmetha, near Shechem, that's described. And then Manasseh, further north, the two tribes' borders meeting at one point. But all God's word will be fulfilled. You can look at a Bible map and you'll see Ephraim and Manasseh. All of God's word will be fulfilled. In 2 Peter chapter 3, concerning the final inheritance, the new heavens and the new earth, we read in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Because God's promise, because the fulfillment seems to be taking so long, ungodly men, they abuse that as they do everything else. And they say, where is it? This promise, it won't be fulfilled. It's worth nothing. So verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, and so on. Because something seems slow to us, it isn't slow to God. A day is 1,000 as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 1,000 years compared to a day seems so long to us. But what is it to God? Men say, where is the sign of his coming? Well, God is fulfilling his purpose, and his word shall not fail. All that he said will come to pass. Thus far, Christ has come according to the scriptures and fulfilled all righteousness and borne the sin of many and triumphed gloriously and is exalted to the right hand of God. And he must reign till all his enemies are made his footstool. His gospel is to be preached in all the earth. The fullness of the Gentiles are to be gathered in. And then the fullness of Israel grafted back in to their olive tree, bringing greater riches to the Gentiles. These things are being brought to pass. They will be fulfilled. And then the eternal kingdom of glory with the redeemed, now with body and soul, glorified in the presence of the Lord. these things will come to pass. And this fulfillment concerning Ephraim and Manasseh, all those years afterwards, if you like, it's a shortened version, it's an extract, a historical extract of the fulfillment of the whole purpose of God and all that he has revealed concerning it in his promises. Fourthly, a sinful deal. A sinful deal. Verse 10, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gaza, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. They did not by faith drive out the Canaanites or drive them all out. Later on they complain that they haven't enough space. You get that in the next chapter. But why didn't they have enough space? Because they didn't drive out the Canaanites. The space was there, but their faith and confidence in the Lord to take the full inheritance was not as it should be. If they had been more believingly obedient, they would have space enough. So in Christ, there is enough to satisfy our souls to the full. There are privileges enough to make us so blessed, and yet we're so half-hearted, so half-baked in embracing what God has promised to us. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How poorly we avail ourselves of this promise that casting everything upon the Lord in prayer, the peace of God stands guard, keeping out the anxiety and the trouble of mind. How little we avail ourselves of that. And like the Ephraimites in this passage, we don't fully enter into all the privileges of the children of God. And this unbelief showed itself in that not only did they not fully destroy the enemy, but they put them under tribute, which might seem to be a benefit, but it wasn't, because it wasn't what was commanded by the Lord. Unprincipled deals do not pay. All deals with sin damage us and hurt us. And the unbelief of not driving out the Canaanites showed itself all the more in doing a deal with them and putting them under tribute. We must be ruthless in the conflict. If we aren't going forward, we will go backwards. You don't just stand still in the Christian life. If you don't progress, you will retreat. Every one of us is either growing in grace or we're backsliding. We're not standing still. And so we miss out, as it were, so much of the comfort in Christ that is held out to us through our half-heartedness and unbelief. And even among believers, the word in Jonah is, although it's principally referring to those who don't believe at all, but they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That is, the mercy of God held out to them in Christ, in the gospel. We trust that isn't true of us, that we observe lying vanities and we don't know anything of the blessings that are to be found in Christ. But how much more there is, how much more there is in Christ that we could have if we were not so half-hearted. Let us then seek grace to enter wholeheartedly into all the privileges that the Lord has promised us. Just as Ephraim should have driven out the Canaanites and enjoyed the whole inheritance, let us seek to know what God has promised us in Christ and to press toward, to seek after all the blessedness in Christ that is held out to us in the Word of God. Amen.